Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turteltaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining me today from Boston is Michael Henry. He is the Senior U.S. Counsel at Emera Energy. Mike, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today.
Thank you, Adam. Glad to be here.
So we're going to be talking about how you go about offering a corporate compliance week over at Emera. And for those of you who aren't familiar with it, SEC and HCCA have been sponsors of a corporate compliance week every year for a lot of years now. But before we get into the actual implementation of your guys' iteration of that, can you first give us some background on Emera Energy, your compliance program,
sure,
and what you've done with
sure
in the past?
Yeah, first of all, Emera Energy, you probably haven't heard of. We're a wholly owned subsidiary of Emera Inc., which is our holding company parent that is also publicly traded on the Toronto Exchange. Actually, Emera is headquartered in Halifax, Nova Scotia, one of the Canadian provinces, in the Atlantic Canadian provinces. Emera Energy is involved in the merchant side of energy. So we don't own wires like utilities do, and we don't serve retail customers. We actually own, operate, and optimize power generators, 1,700 megawatts of them in New England and Eastern Canada. And in addition to that, we provide marketing, trading, asset management services to energy customers in the Northeast, mostly in the Northeastern North America. We have, at Emera Energy, we have about 220 employees in Canada and the U.S. And most relevant to our compliance program is that we operate our business under the kind of watchful gaze of U.S. and Canadian regulators. So we have federal, state, and provincial regulators in the U.S. and Canada overseeing us. As far as our compliance program is concerned, I've been working at Emera Energy for about 4.5 years. And when I got here, there was already lots of compliance activity underway. In fact, we sort of joke inside of the company and the larger holding company that, we are traditionally considered the unregulated business division of Emera, but we have some of the most extensive regulatory requirements. And we have, over 500 individual reports we have to submit every year. Part of my task when I joined Emera Energy was to sort of give a bit more of a structure to what was already happening and was already going well, in fact. And one of the things that eventually arose after a few years of doing compliance trainings and providing things like a compliance manual and other useful tools like that is the idea came along to have a compliance committee and to pull a compliance committee together. And that's been a really useful supplement and real enhancement to our program. And we meet quarterly. It comprises managers from each of the business divisions inside of Emera Energy, and it helps it gives us a good source of ideas. It also serves as a sounding board. And after a few years of working with them and providing what was our annual compliance training to all of our employees, the idea came out of the compliance committee, well, what if we held something like a compliance week? And we'd never done that before. And the idea had occurred to me, but it was not the kind of idea that I wanted to feel like I was imposing as, a member of the compliance team. It felt like it would be best to come from the business organically. And that is kind of what happened. We'd never had a compliance week before. And in 2017, we held our first one, and we just wrapped up our second one a few weeks back. And part of our goals of that week, and this is getting, I think, the last part of your question, is that the goal for me was really to contribute to compliance culture at the company. We wanted to increase understanding of compliance issues. We wanted to contribute to a compliance culture where employees felt comfortable raising questions or issues. And in that sense, it was an opportunity to sort of cultivate a sense of, psychological safety is what it's called, which is just an environment where people can feel like they can raise questions and won't be criticized for that or ostracized for it, and maybe even identify mistakes so that they're at least, raising the issues.
No, and then yeah. And those are challenges I think that, every organization faces. And apropos of that, I think Your story makes a good point. Whether or not it's time to have a compliance program isn't dependent on the size of your organization. I mean, 220 is
Right.
small, but the degree of regulatory complexity and risk that you face.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. For sure. And because we're unregulated, or, in quotes and scare quotes anyway, there's a high risk of market manipulation. That's certainly one of the biggest areas that our regulator's been involved in enforcement. And even if you haven't been involved in activity that ends up being found to be market manipulation, just the cost and expense and burden of undertaking an investigation and engaging with a regulator in an investigation can be difficult for a company to go through. So yeah, so risk is a big part of the approach that we took to identifying a need for something like a compliance week.
Great. Now you talked about some of the goals already. If there's more, feel free to add them. One co other
Yeah.
question I had was, the point of resources for this. You're a small organization. You don't have the depth of budget, and other internal
Yeah.
resources of a large one. But I think, you pointed out that those are not gatekeeping issues, so you can still go forward and do something.
Sure. Yeah. I think that the most important indicator for me on compliance was really that there was an expression of interest in this from the business divisions, and that made it much easier for it was a much smoother path to actually, from the point that it was identified to through planning and then through execution. As far as your resources are concerned, there were about 4 months from the time that we got an indication that they for sure wanted to undertake Compliance Week to the, to the time to execute. And we didn't have a lot of resources, so we needed to focus on, efficiencies. What were the things that we knew we could take advantage of that we'd already done before? What could we pull together, and what could we pull together in an expensive way? And one of the things that I discovered, especially this second time we went through this in 2018, was you can focus on what doesn't cost anything but creates interest. You create mystery or suspense. You maybe don't tell people, what is the lunch that you're going to have on Friday, or you don't reveal, what the merchandise item is until, the morning when you have like a special event to kind of unveil it. That stuff is free and it creates interest, and it's a great way to make the most of what you have, which is limited. And I think also I feel so strongly about this that I think even if you have a lot of resources, I think it pays in a sense. It pays to actually approach the situation as if you don't have a lot of resources, because it requires that you think creatively in a more resourceful way.
No, that's great advice. So, can you take us through a little bit of what were some of the activities and programs you had during the week?
Sure. Well, we had a daily email, and communication was really important for us, and it was important for me. I wanted to make sure that people couldn't miss what was going on. And that also contributed to the sense that this was something that was happening, and it was special. And this was an important piece of advice I also got from one of the members of our compliance committee early on, which is, if we're going to have this event, we want to make it, special. We want to make sure people aren't able to really overlook it. And I really took that to mean, well, if we're going to hold a compliance week, then it shouldn't suck. And that was a guiding principle for me through this was, is this going to be something that is going to keep this compliance week from sucking? So that's an approach I took, and it was actually, as crass as it sounds, it was also helpful for me. It was a little voice inside my head whenever I had decisions to make. Some of the things that we did, so I had mentioned we had a daily email. We tried to provide some sort of programming each day. We had our regular annual kind of required compliance training on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And we'd have them timed differently, like 2 in the morning, 2 in the afternoon, to just accommodate different employees' priorities and schedules. And then each day we also provided another kind of a special forum or panel. For example, natural gas pipeline compliance issues are something that we're focusing on at Emera Energy. So that was one of the offerings. Another offering was on communications. A lot of the enforcement cases that come up in this area have identified non-professional communications via whether they're instant messaging or phone messages, and there are transcripts of some pretty damning communications that are featured in these orders. So we had a communications compliance presentation that identified some of these and stressed the need to ensure that communications are business appropriate. Another interesting thing that we did is we also offered a special panel on the culture of compliance, and this was kind of serendipitous for sure. Is the week that we chose ended up being or coinciding with the board of directors meeting for the parent company, so for Emera Inc. So there were board members in town that week, and one of our executives saw this as an opportunity to take one of those board members and to sit them on a panel and have them talk about the culture of compliance. And that was, it happened, and it was great. It was great for Emera Energy to host that. It was also great for Emera Inc. because they had a forum that allowed, one of their board members to talk about compliance and to communicate, sort of a top-down messaging. It was really a terrific development. And what ended up being serendipity in the first year has now become an important element of the program every year. So when we're looking at scheduling for the following year, we look at, well, what are the dates for the board meeting so that we can have something like that again. A couple of other things. We made sure that there was plenty of free food because that always gets employees excited. And we also had sort of like a closing luncheon where we had a prize drawing and again more free food. We also tried to choose interesting merchandising item, and this is where I'll end up. Last year in 2017, we were looking for an appropriate item, and I was trying to find something that was sort of culturally appropriate. And inside of Emera Inc., Emera Energy has a reputation for what do you say? People are better dressed maybe in Emera Energy than in other parts of the business. So that made me think, a clothing item would be good. And I ended up identifying socks, compliant socks. They are the company colors. They have the company logo on them, and then right at the toe it says toe the line, so that they are compliance appropriate.
That's fun, and I think what's nice about it is it's something that ties into the company culture. It's not just some tchotchke with something on it. It's something that fits there. Well, we're starting to run out of time, so let me briefly ask you probably what's the well, a couple of questions. One, what was the reception you got from the business people?
The reception was really positive. During the week, we went from talking about Emera Energy's first ever compliance week to the first annual compliance week. So there was lots of compliments about the program, and people said they were engaged. They said they enjoyed the training. And we did it again this year, so it was a great outcome.
That's great. So are there, what do you see as the key benefits and really advice for others? Obviously you see there's key benefits here, but if you recap them, and what are some advice you give others about to do the first one of Corporate Compliance and Ethics Week of their own?
I'd say, make sure your compliance week fits into your larger program. It's a great supplement to what you're doing throughout the year, but it shouldn't be the beginning and end. And you can really look for ways that you can maximize the benefit to the business and employees. You look at, are there areas or topics that are high risk that may be new or haven't been adequately addressed in the past, and you could have a panel on that. Is there something that employees are asking about? For example, something that comes up for us a lot is attorney-client privilege. When we offered this year, we offered a session that was specifically on preserving attorney-client privilege and what that means to the company and what have you. Another thing I would say is with your communications, don't get discouraged if you feel like people are not reading your emails. I feel like I over-communicated, and still I was getting questions that I thought were pretty basic and would have been covered in the emails. So, put your ego away when it comes to communications, and just assume that you need to over-communicate a bit. And if that means emails and signage, then that's okay. It's compliance week. It's supposed to look different and special.
That's great. Well, thanks so much for sharing that. And I said, Sam, I'm still chuckling over how you didn't want to have a compliance program that sucked because, frankly, that's what caught my eye as I was looking through the agenda for the 2018 Compliance and Ethics Institute. I saw that title and said, this guy I got to talk to for a podcast. So thanks for
Well, it's
doing
true, and
that.
it's important.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is. So thanks for sharing here. Thanks for sharing at the Institute. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen in today. I'm Adam Turtletaub from SCCE and HCCA saying I hope we were able to expand your compliance perspective.